الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue our readings in شروط الصلاة وأركانها وواجباتها by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى He died in the year 1206 after the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم The conditions of the prayer and its pillars and obligations The conditions of the prayer and its pillars and its obligations And we have read that which the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى with regards to the conditions and we have began reading in the pillars and we have read that which the author he mentioned with regards to the first pillar and likewise with regards to the second pillar the first pillar of standing for the one who is able in the obligatory prayer and the second pillar of stating takbiratul ihram the statement Allahu Akbar to enter into the sacred state of as-salah to enter into the sacred rites of as-salah and we have seen likewise that after that the author rahimahullahu ta'ala he mentioned the supplication known as du'a al-istiftah the opening supplication and he also mentioned a brief interpretation of that supplication so that the believer will be able to benefit from the prayer inwardly and outwardly and then after that he mentioned the third pillar rahimahullahu ta'ala which is qira'atu fatiha the recitation of the Fatiha, and he clarified that this is a pillar in every rak'ah. And we have discussed the affairs with regards to this in our previous class, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ And after this, the author, رحمه ta'ala, he does not move on to the next pillar, clarifying the next ruling. Rather, he takes a moment to give a brief and concise interpretation of Surah Al-Fatiha, of Surah Al-Fatiha. And we'll find likewise that this is his methodology throughout the book. Rahimahullah ta'ala, that he will combine by clarifying al-ahkam al-fiqhiyah, which is the purpose of this work and the subject of this work in the first place, to clarify those conditions and the requirements, those pillars, and likewise obligations in order for the prayer to be performed correctly. But the prayer, it has an inward aspect and an outward aspect, and the author, he's aware of this, rahimahullah, and he did not neglect this in this particular treatise. And the majority of the time, whenever we read in the books of the fuqaha, clarifying al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, al-amaliyyah, yani al-fiqh, yani fid-deen, clarifying the rulings of how to perform the obligations, how to perform the actions of worship, how to perform the contracts and dealings properly, according to the limits prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and clarified in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam it would have much detail about the rulings of these affairs and evidences for that and that which is allowed and that which is not allowed and conditions and pillars and requirements and the likes like this and invalidators so on and so forth but this is to learn how to perform it outwardly correctly but likewise the ibadah it has an inward aspect And that is the foundation of the worship, that the heart will be present and full of love and remembrance of Allah. And that a person, he will worship Allah with his soul and his heart and his body. With his soul and his heart and his mind and his body. And he will worship him, Allah Azza wa Jal, with his self entirely. He will not simply perform these actions outwardly, even perfecting them according to the limits outwardly, and then neglecting the inward aspect. So here, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, carries on in this manner to mention a brief interpretation of the meanings of the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. And the author himself, rahimahullah ta'ala, as we know, he has a number of rasail that he has written with regards to a number of different subjects. And the majority of them are with regards to al-tawheed and the proper aqeedah and the methodology of the salaf al-salih. But he has as well other treatises that he has written with regards to issues of fiqh, like this one, for example. And also he has treatises that he has written with regards to at-tafsir, And like that, he has a work that is brief and summarized in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. And the explanation of the chapter Al-Fatiha. So in this particular work, he has, rahimahullah ta'ala, introduction. And in this introduction, he mentions great benefit with regards to the importance of this issue that we're embarking upon now. and that is understanding the meanings of the Fatiha. Understanding the meanings of the Fatiha. So before we read this brief and beneficial and concise interpretation and explanation of those verses that the author he mentioned in this particular work, we will read insha'Allah ta'ala this evening this introduction. And the point is not to explain this whole explanation here or to comment on all of this, but just to read this introduction and to benefit from that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a light for us and a benefit. And indeed, if we pay attention, we'll find great, great, great benefit in these words of the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So we have made these particular pages. There are three pages, 2.5 pages to be precise, or a little more. They're available in the Telegram channel for Masjid At-Tawheed for those who want to follow along. So on the first page, he mentioned this Surah Al-Fatiha completely. And then after that, those who transmitted this work to us, they said, قَالَ شَيْكُ الْإِسْلَامِ Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu wa radiya anhu bimannihi wa karamihi. The Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, may Allah have mercy upon him and be pleased with him and be pleased with him by his grace and his generosity. He said, i'lam arshadaka Allah bi ta'atihi wa ahataka bi hiyatatihi wa tawallaka fi dunya wal akhirah anna maqsood as-salati وروحها ولبها هو إكبار القلب على الله تعالى فيها. The author, he says, رحمه الله تعالى, you must know. يعني this is very important. Pay attention. يعلم. يعني تعلم هذا الشيء وتيقن منه. Pay attention and learn. Listen and be certain about this. May Allah guide you to His obedience. May Allah protect you with His protection. May Allah take charge of your affairs in this life and in the hereafter. That indeed the intent from the salah. And the soul of the salah and the essence of the salah is that the heart will devote itself entirely to Allah while in the prayer. So this is something that is very important. And indeed, this is something that we all know. But this is likewise something that gets passed us many times. So the author, he is giving sincere advice. And it's very clear from the manner that he's beginning this treatise. No, you have to know. And you have to know, my brother in Islam, may Allah guide you to His obedience. And may Allah guide you to His obedience, meaning may Allah guide you to comply to His commandments and perform the obligations in the best manner and to avoid and stay away from the prohibitions. And no doubt the one who Allah guides him to His obedience, he has all good in this life and in the hereafter. And he says, and may Allah encompass you in His protection, and may Allah take charge of your affairs for you in this life and the hereafter. Such a great supplication. We say, Ameen. We hope that Allah would accept this from him for us. And this great supplication, he's saying this to tell us that the intention from the prayer, the goal and the aim and the purpose of the salat, the soul and the very essence of the salat, huwa ikbaru qalbi ala Allahi ta'ala fiha, that the heart will be turned and directed to Allah with sincere devotion in the prayer. So the treatise that we're reading, this is clarifying how to perform the prayer outwardly and the conditions that must be met. And the requirements that must be fulfilled and the limits that are prescribed in the deen of Allah. But along with that, the prayer has an inside. The outside aspect, no doubt, is important. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa rad." That whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our affair, then it will be rejected. And this is from that aspect, the clarification of the law and prescribed way for the action to be performed outwardly. But likewise, it has an inward aspect. And the author is clarifying that for us in the salah specifically, but likewise in every action of worship, that the heart during that action of worship, here we're talking about the salah, will be dedicated to Allah, will be devoted to Allah, will be focused on the action at hand, and that is that one is performing the prayer, seeking the reward, and seeking acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now he says, rahimahullah, فَإِذَا صَلَّيْتَ بِلَا قَلْبٍ فَهِيَ كَالْجَسَدِ أَلَّذِي لَا رُوحَ فِيهِ فَهِيَ كَالْجَسَدِ أَلَّذِي لَا رُوحَ فِيهِ. And if you were to pray, and if you were to pray without a heart, any meaning while your heart is not devoted to Allah, while your heart is unattentive, while your heart is focused on something else, while your heart is preoccupied with the worldly life, while your heart is heedless of the remembrance of Allah, if you're to pray in this manner, فَهِيَ كَالْجَسَدِ أَلَّذِي لَا رُوحَ فِيهِ, then the prayer will be like a body with no soul in it. Then the prayer will be like a body with no soul in it. So this is what he's saying here, that the life of the prayer, the soul of the prayer, the essence of the prayer is that the heart will be dedicated and devoted to Allah during the prayer. During the prayer. And if one were to pray without the heart in this manner, devoted to Allah Azza wa Jalla, then the prayer would be like a body. It would be like a body without a soul. A body without a soul. A body without a soul has no benefit. A body without a soul cannot benefit himself, nor can he benefit others. A body without a soul is dead. It's a dead body. He has no benefit. So this is the example that the author he's making, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى هَذَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and that which is a proof for this, and that which indicates this, وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى هَذَا, يعني كَأَنُّهُ يَقُلْ وَالدَّلِيلُ هَذَا, and the evidence for this, and the evidence for this is the statement of Allah, the Most High, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. وَيْل, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, so woe, يعني destruction, and a threat of punishment, and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla for the worshippers, for the musallin, for those who are in prayer, for those who are in prayer. And then Allah, He clarifies, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, those people who are heedless and negligent with regards to their prayer. And He wailed to them, not wailed to every person praying. Yani wail is a dua for destruction. Yani halak wal adab, wail li fulan, yani al halak wal adab. Yani may he be destroyed, may he be punished. May he be destroyed, may he be punished. So Allah is saying this about the musallin, the people who are making salah, but not in general, rather, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, those musallin, those people who are in the prayer while they are negligent and forgetful and heedless with regards to the rites of that prayer. So the author, he says, فَفُسِّرَ السَّهْوُ بِالسَّهْوِ عَنْ وَقْتِهَا أي إِضَاعَتِهَا وَالسَّهْوِ عَنْ ما يجب فيها والسهو عن حضور القلب والسهو عن حضور القلب. That which the author he's mentioning here, Allah knows best. He is summarizing. It's as if he's summarizing that which Ibn Kathir he had mentioned, or he's benefiting greatly. And Ibn Kathir in his tafsir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned the likes of these affairs here, very similar to this, and clarifying the intent of this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned the wail for those people who pray and they are heedless or neglectful in their prayer. He mentioned any similar like this, but with much more detail. And the author, he has summarized that, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he says, so this has been interpreted to mean, as-sahu, al-adhina hum an salatihim sahun, sahun, yani sahun, this is ism fa'il, min as-sahwi. As-sahu, literally it means a nisyan, to be forgetful, to be forgetful. But also it has the meaning of being negligent and being heedless of something as well. And that's what is intended here. So he's saying that the sahu here, those people who are forgetful about their prayer, or heedless about their prayer, or negligent with regards to their prayer, he's saying this has been explained to mean heedless with regards to the time, meaning neglecting the proper time. Neglecting the proper time. And then he said, likewise, it has been interpreted to mean negligence with regards to the obligations that must be performed. And he's referring to the conditions and the pillars and the obligations in the sunan, not performing it yani physically in the proper manner. This has also been mentioned in the interpretation of these verses. And he says, وَالسَّهْوِ عَنْ حُضُورِ الْقَلْبِ, this likewise has been mentioned also, being negligent and heedless with regards to the presence of the heart, with regards to the presence of the heart. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned after mentioning a number of narrations from the Salaf, from them Ibn Abbas and Mujahid and other than them radiyallahu anhum, he mentioned this summary here like this, and what the author is referring to, that they have mentioned this, that some of them mentioned that what is intended here, those people who delayed the prayer from its proper time, they delayed the prayer from its proper time, they intentionally wait and pray their prayer after the time has gone, or they neglect the time of the prayer until it's about to go out, and they do this as a custom or a habit, and they're not showing concern or care or honor with regards to the rites of the Salah. Others have made the interpretation to mean that they have neglected the pillars of the prayer, the conditions of the prayer, and the pillars of the prayer. And likewise, the obligations and the sunan of the prayer. Any of their heedless with regards to that. Their heedless with regards to outwardly performing the prayer in the proper manner, legislatively. Others, they have made the interpretation that there are those who are in prayer, but they're heedless with their heart. They have no khushu'. That they have negligence with regards to the presence of their heart in the prayer. So all of this has been mentioned from the Salaf, and this is what the author is summarizing here. He continues, rahimahullah, he says, وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي فِي صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمٍ. And that which is the evidence for this is the narration that is in Sahih Muslim. And this is the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. So the author, he says, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قال that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, تلك صلاة المنافق, تلك صلاة المنافق, تلك صلاة المنافق. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. يركب الشمس حتى إذا كانت بين قرني شيطان. There's some slight typos here or misprints. The wording of Sahih Muslim, يَجْلِسُ يَرْكُبُ الشَّمْسَ حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَتْ بَيْنَ قَرْنَيْ الشَّيْطَانِ بَيْنَ قَرْنَيْ الشَّيْطَانِ قَامَ فَنَقَرَهَا أَرْبَعًا لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِيهَا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is the actual wording with some corrections in this text here in Sahih Muslim. يَجْلِسُ يَرْكُبُ الشَّمْسَ حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَتْ بَيْنَ قَرْنَيْ الشَّيْطَانِ with the alif and lam in the shaytan. قَامَ فَنَقَرَهَا قَامَ فَ نَقَرَهَا فَنَقَرَهَا أَرْبَعًا لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِيهَا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. This is the prayer of the hypocrite. This individual, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will sit and he will wait, observing the sun until it falls down just between the two horns of the devil. Any meaning in the time of Asr, whenever it's not allowed to pray. And that time whenever the sun is falling and has changed into the yellowish color in the time of Sirat al-Shams that we have discussed with regards to those to the issue of the time, which was a condition. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that whenever the sun falls in this position here now, meaning in its very last time, when it's not allowed to delay into that time without an excuse, قَامَ فَنَقَرَهَا أَرْبَعَ, he will stand up now and peck out the prayer four units. He will stand and peck out the prayer four units. Naqaraha, and naqar literally is the action of the bird and in moving the head very quickly, like the way that the bird will peck the ground. This is literally what a naqar is, that it will take his beak and he will peck at the ground, taking the food and the drink in this manner like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing this person's prayer in this manner. He will peck out asr four rak'ah. لا يذكر الله فيها إلا قليلا. And he will not remember Allah in that salah except for a little. So the author, he says now, فوصفه بإضاعة الوقت بقوله يركب الشمس. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described this person by neglecting the time in his statement يركب الشمس, that he's sitting, he's lying and waiting, watching the sun. يَرْكُبُ الشَّمْسِ, any meaning he has time. He's sitting there and waiting. He has no excuse. He's watching the sun. He continues to watch the sun and delay it. This is an indication here of the correct understanding of this verse. أَلَذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. سَاهُونَ, and he's negligent with regards to the time. He's delaying the time intentionally with no reason. And then he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَبِإِضَاعَةِ الْأَرْكَانِ بِذِكْرِهِ النَّقَرِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring here to neglecting the pillars by mentioning the pecking. He's pecking now. And he's pecking now. Remember whenever we read the general understanding of the pillars, that in the sujood that he will, as-sujood wal-i'tidaru minhu. As-sujood al-sabati al-a'dha wa al-i'tidal minhu, that he will sit and he will prostrate and then he will raise up from the sujood until he's sitting there properly. So this person, he's neglecting this. He's neglecting this right. So he's just pecking, moving quickly and pecking at the ground like a bird. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is in reference to neglecting the pillars of the salah. neglecting the pillars of the salah. وبإضاعة حضور القلب بقوله لا يذكر الله فيها إلا قليلا. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to the fact that this individual, he is neglecting the presence of the heart in his statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he does not remember Allah in that prayer except for a little. And he does not remember Allah in that prayer except for a little. So those people were negligent with regards to the prayer, and this is the manner: negligent with regards to the time, negligent with regards to the conditions and the pillars and the obligations and the requirements of performing outwardly properly, negligence with regards to the presence of the heart and having khushu' and humbleness and humility and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the prayer. So these people, they have a threat. These people here, they're threatened. Those who pray in this manner, they're threatened. Rather, this is the description of the prayer of the hypocrite. وَرِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says now, giving sincere advice again, رحمه ta'ala, إِذَا فَهَمْتَ ذَلِكَ فَفْهَمْ نَوْعًا وَاحِدًا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. If you understood this, if you understood this now, what we just discussed, everybody understand his point, what he's making now? About the neglecting the prayer, Allah has threatened with regards to this, neglecting the prayer. And in reality, this is the essence of the prayer, the presence of the mind, the presence of the heart, and likewise that it will be performed legislatively, properly, in the correct manner, meeting those requirements. He says, إِذَا فَهَمْتَ ذَلِكَ فَفْهَمْ نَوْعًا وَاحِدًا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. If you understood that, then you must know one aspect of the prayer, وَهُوَ قِرَاءَةُ الْفَاتِحَةِ, and it is the recitation of the Fatiha. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ صَلَاتَكَ مِنَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَقْبُولَةِ المضاعفتي المكفرة للذنوب. He said that if you understood that, you need that which has preceded, then you must understand one aspect of the prayer, and that is the recitation of the Fatiha, in hopes that Allah will make your prayer from the prayers that are accepted, and from the prayers that are multiplied in reward, and from those prayers that will be a means to expiate your sins. That will be a means to expiate the sins. So if we ponder now about this statement here, this wallahi is amazing. And we see that the author, he died in the year 1206. So this is well over 200 years ago. This is well over 200 years ago. So we could imagine, and he's from Najd, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in those days, in that land, in that era, and the likes like this, what he was facing, what he was going through, the life that they're living, any physically and outwardly, and the likes like this. Maybe he's writing on parchments, maybe he doesn't have a bic, he clicks, and the likes like this, he doesn't have slight switches and so on and so forth, but what he has is himmah, what he has is concern, what he has inayah, what he has mahabba sadiqah, wallahu a'lam, that's what is apparent for the believers, for the Muslims, for Islam, for Allah Azza wa Jal. So imagine him, he's alone now, thinking what should he do with his life. And he says, let me grab a pen and write a treatise to clarify for my brothers in Islam the meaning of the Fatiha. Hopefully they will benefit from that, and they will pray a prayer that Allah will accept from them. Hopefully they will benefit from that, and they will pray a prayer that Allah will multiply the reward for them. Hopefully they will benefit from these words that I write for them, and Allah will accept their salah and forgive their sins by way of that. And so he's thinking about how he can benefit you and me. He's thinking about how he can benefit the Muslims. So this is an amazing affair. And this is contrary to what the enemies of Tawheed and the enemies of the Shaykh himself, specifically, rahimahullah ta'ala, have mentioned about him. Those who claim, Wahhabiyya, he came with the new deed, he came with this, he made takfir of the believers. These are his statements here. This is what he's saying. He said, I'm sitting here writing this treatise, summarizing these words, summarizing these benefits in very concise and easy words to understand. Hopefully that you'll benefit, and hopefully you'll learn how to pray a prayer that Allah would accept from you. And hopefully you'll learn how to pray a prayer that will be a means of your own reward to be multiplied for you, and a means of expiation for your sins. So he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَمِنْ أَحْسَنِ مَا يَفْتَحُ لَكَ الْبَابَ فِي فَحْمٍ فَاتِحَ حَدِيثُ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And from the best thing that will open up the door for you to understand the Fatiha is the narration of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, aladhi fi sahih Muslim. Aladhi fi sahih Muslim. That which is corrected in sahih Muslim. Qala, he said, radiyallahu anhu, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, يقول الله تعالى. Allah, He says, قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي نصفين ولعبدي ما سأله. Allah, He says, I have divided the prayer between me and my slave into two parts, and my slave will have that which he asked for. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, what is intended by as-salat here is al-fatiha. قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ يَعْنِي الْفَاتِحَ قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ يَعْنِي الْفَاتِحَ. What is intended here by as-salat is al-fatiha. I have divided the salat two parts, between me and my slave two parts. I have divided the salat between me and my slave two parts, meaning I have divided the fatiha. I have divided the fatiha between me and my slave into two parts. And my slave, he will have what he asked for. It's from here that the people of knowledge have mentioned that from the names of Al-Fatiha is As-Salah. Al-Fatiha, it has a number of names. This particular chapter, it has a number of different names. We have seen some of them. Al-Kitab wa Al-Qur'an. And also Al-Ruqya. And also As-Salah. And also Al-Hamd. Al-Hamd, because it begins with Al-Hamd. And it has a number of names. From that here, As-Salah. And this is derived from this narration. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continues to narrate that which Allah, he mentioned. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي. And whenever the slave, whenever the servant, the person, and he in the salah, he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise and thanks is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Then Allah, He says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. My slave has praised me. And he praised me in mentioning my lofty traits and attributes of perfection, and praising me in my majesty and glory. فَإِذَا قَالَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. And if he says, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, the most gracious, the most merciful. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High, he says, أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي, that my slave, my servant, he has repeated the praise. He has praised me repeatedly. He has praised me repeatedly. And he meaning confessing to the greatness of Allah and His majesty, and that all favors and blessings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and whenever the slave, he says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, master of the day of judgment, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي, that indeed my slave, he has glorified me. He has glorified me and praised me in my majesty. فَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and if he says, you alone do we worship, O Allah, and you alone do we seek aid and help from, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High, he says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ, this is between me and my slave, and my slave will have that which he asked for. فَإِذَا قَالَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قال الله تعالى هذا لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأله. And if he says, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have bestowed your blessing and favors upon, not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor those who have gone astray, then Allah, he says, this is for my slave, and my slave, he will have that which he asked for. The author, he says, انتهى الحديث يعني المرفوع منه. قال رحمه الله فإذا تأمل العبد هذا. So if a person were to ponder over this, وعلم أنها نصفان, and he knows now that the Fatiha is two parts, نصف لله وهو أولها إلى قوله إياك نعبد ونصف للعبد دعاء يدعو به لنفسه, and he knows that it is two parts, one part for Allah, and that is the first of it until the statement إياك نعبد, you alone do we worship. And half of it is for Allah, and it is the first of it from the statement إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship. And half of it is for the slave, and it is supplication. And it is a supplication that he calls and supplicates for himself, that he calls on Allah and he supplicates for himself. وَتَأَمَّلَ أَنَّ الَّذِي عَلَّمَهُ هَذَا هُوَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And then if he were to ponder that the one who taught him this is Allah the Most High. وَأَمَرَهُ مَنْ يَدْعُوَ بِهِ وَيُكَرِّرَهُ فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةٍ. And then he were to ponder likewise and realize that it is Allah who ordered him to supplicate with this, and that it is Allah who ordered him to repeat it in every rak'ah. وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ ضمن إجابة هذا الدعاء. And likewise that Allah, the Most High, that Allah, glorified is Him, from His grace and from His kindness and generosity, He has guaranteed the response to this supplication. إذا دعاه بإخلاص وحضور قلب تبين له ما أضاع أكثر الناس. And that Allah, He guaranteed the response to this supplication if he were to call on Him with sincerity and the presence of mind. Now after this reflection, it will come clear to him that which the majority of the people have neglected. That which the majority of the people have neglected. He says, قَدْ هَيَّأُكَ لِأَمْرٍ لَوْ فَطِنْتَ لَهُ فَارُبَعْ بِنَفْسِكَ أَنْ تَرْعَى مَعَ الْحَمَرِ. And he mentioning some lines of poetry, and the meaning of which is that you have been prepared for something major if you were to only realize. If you're to only realize, and therefore you should free yourself going about with the low lives. So you should free yourself or raise yourself above running around with the low lives. يعني الهمل يعني الغافلين الغافلين عن ذكر الله تعالى. Those who are negligent with regard to the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, أصحاب الشهوات, those who are engulfed in their desires. And so this is a line of poetry, and what is intended from that is to wake a person up to realize that we have been prepared for something major, that we are facing something great, that we have souls and we have a creator of the soul, and we're going to return to the one who created our soul, and he's going to take us to account for that which we did with our soul. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something major. This is something major. This life is not a game, it's not a joke, and it's not all play, and everything that glitters is not gold. And everything that glitters is not gold. Rather, we have been created for a great purpose and a great goal, and that is a test and a trial. And that is a test and a trial. A trial, with regards to the deen of Allah, and with regards to the love of Allah, and showing preference for the love of Allah over the love of one's own desires and one's whims. So therefore, he should recognize this, realize this, and save himself, and raise himself above being in the company of the heedless, or engulfed in negligence with those who are negligent, or following the whims and desires, or drowning in the whims and desires with those who are drowning in whims and desires. So he's saying, وَهَا أَنَا أَذْكُرُ لَكَ بَعْضَ مَآنِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةَ الْعَظِيمَةِ لَعَلَّكَ تُصَلِّي بِحُضُورِ قَلْبٍ وَيَعْلَمُ قَلْبُكَ مَا نَطَقَ بِهِ لِسَانُكَ. He says, and here now, I will mention for you some of the meanings of this great chapter, and hopes that you will be able to pray with the heart that is present, so that hopefully your heart will know the meaning of what your tongue is pronouncing. لِأَنَّ مَا نَطَقَ بِهِ اللِّسَانِ وَلَمْ يَعْقِدْ عَلَيْهِ الْقَلْبُ لَيْسَ بِعَمَلٍ صَالِحٍ. Because that which the tongue pronounces, but is not bonded correctly in accordance in the heart, then it's not considered a righteous deed. Then it's not considered a righteous deed. This is a great point. And he's somebody who's doing an action of worship outwardly, but his heart is not engaged and devoted to Allah, then this is not considered a righteous action. And the actions of worship, just as they have pillars, for example, we're studying the conditions of Salah, and the pillars of Salah, and the obligations of Salah. This is from the outward aspect. But the Salah likewise is an action of worship. And every action of worship, it has conditions inwardly. And that is that it will be based upon love and hope and fear. Love and hope and fear. These are the muharrikat al-qulub. These are the these are called arkan al-ta'abud al-qalbiyya, the pillars of the worship of the heart. So if the body outwardly is worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, but the heart is not worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, then again, like the author he mentioned, this action of worship is like a body without a soul. It's like a body without a soul. So he's telling us now that this is not considered a righteous deed. This is not considered a righteous deed. This is not considered a righteous deed. So therefore, in order for the deed to be righteous, a person, he has to be in accordance. His heart has to be in accordance with what he's saying with his tongue and what he's doing with his body. He says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. This is just as Allah the Most High, He has said, يَقُولُ بِأَلْسِنَاتِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They are saying with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. They are saying with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala has a number of books, great books, rahimahullah. From them, the book called As-Salah. As-Salah. It's one volume. It's very thick. It's called As-Salah. And then in this work, he mentions many secrets from the wisdom and the hidden aspects and benefits with regards to the prayer. And from that is what he's referring to here. And he's mentioning something that's very blameworthy, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that is that a person, he will stand in the prayer and he will say Allahu Akbar with his tongue, but his heart is not thinking of Allah at all. While in his heart, the dunya is akbar, and his mind is on the dunya. The greatest thing in his heart is the dunya. That which clarifies that is that's what he's thinking about. So maybe his tongue will say Allahu Akbar. Maybe he's facing the Qibla. Maybe he raises his hands in the proper manner. But at that very moment that his tongue is saying that, his heart is saying something else. His heart is thinking about something else. His heart is reflecting and pondering and desiring something else. Not desiring the reward from Allah. Not even remembering Allah. Not even a little bit sometimes. So this is something that's very blameworthy. So the author, he's warning us from this. يَقُولُونَ بِأَلْسِنَاتِهِمْ عَلَيْسِ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. They're saying with their tongues that which is not in their hearts. And this is with regards to those hypocrites specifically, but just to warn a believer from النِفَاق الْعَمَلِ. Because النِفَاق, as we know, is two types. النِفَاق الْإِتِقَادِ, the pure and sincere, what do you have, the pure hypocrisy, when a person, he does not believe and he claims he believes. And then there's another type which is lesser than that, but likewise is still major. And that is whenever a person, he is a believer, but his actions are not from the actions of faith. He performs the actions that are contrary to the actions of faith. So from that is these resemblances to the munafiqeen. لا يذكرون الله فيها لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. Whenever they pray, they don't remember Allah a little bit. They only remember Allah a little bit. The قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالا يراؤون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. And whenever they stand up for the prayer, they stand lazily, and they stand lazily, and they show off in the prayer, and also they do not remember Allah during the prayer except for a little, just like the narration of Anas that had preceded radiallahu anhu. So this was the introduction that I wanted to read, and that we can ponder and reflect over. And in reality, if we were to stop at these benefits, there are great benefits to mention that which to comment on that which he had mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But the intention was not to go into detail, just to read this great benefit, and likewise make it known for the people that the author, he has this work, and the people now, those who are not aware of it, they are aware of it, and they can refer back to it and read it themselves. Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he has another sharh of a Fatiha likewise, that it has some more details in it. But here we can read after this that which is an introduction as well. And he summarized here in the treatise that we're reading from this portion here. And likewise, this also is a summarization of that which Ibn Kathir, he mentioned in his tafsir, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And if you return back to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, you will find a great resemblance. And in clarifying that the author, he has summarized and benefited from that greatly, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he says, وَأَبْدَأُ بِمَعْنَ الْإِسْتِيَادَةِ ثُمَّ الْبَسْمَلَةِ. So I'll begin with the meaning of الْإِسْتِيَادَةِ. And then after that, the بَسْمَلَةِ. عَلَى طَرِيقَ الْإِخْتِصَارِ وَالْإِجَازِ. In a way of summarizing and being brief. فَمَعْنَا أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So the meaning of saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed devil. أَلُوذُ بِاللَّهِ وَاعْتَصِمُ بِاللَّهِ وَاسْتَجِيرُ بِجَنَابِهِ مِنْ شَرِّ هَذَا الْعَدُوُ أَنْ يَضُرَّنِي فِي دِينِي أَوْ دُنْيَايَ أَوْ يَصُدَّنِي عَنْ فِعْلِ مَا أُمِرْتُ بِهِ أَوْ يُحُثَّنِي عَلَى فِعْلِ مَا نُهِيتُ عَنْهُ. He said, this meaning of this, I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed devil, is that I seek refuge with Allah. I hold fast to Allah. I seek protection with the majesty and the greatness of Allah from the evil of that enemy, from the evil of this enemy, that he will harm me in my religion or in my worldly life, or that he will stop me or prohibit me from performing that which I have been commanded to perform, or that he would encourage me to perform something that I have been prohibited from. لِأَنَّهُ أَحْرَصُ مَا يَكُونُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ إِذَا أَرَادَ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ صَلَاةٍ أَوْ قِرَاءَةٍ أَوْ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. Because the devil, he is most diligent. He is most diligent whenever a person has the intention to do some good, like praying a salah or reciting the Quran or other than that. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَا حِيلَةَ لَكَ فِي دَفْعِهِ إِلَّا بِالْإِسْتِيَادَةِ بِاللَّهِ. And that is that you have no possible way to repel him. And that is that you have no possible way to repel him except by seeking refuge with Allah. Except by seeking refuge with Allah. So he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, and this is because you have no possible way to repel him. except by seeking refuge with Allah. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And this is based upon, and the evidence is the statement of Allah the Most High. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. That indeed he sees you, meaning as shaitan, the devil. Indeed he sees you, him and his forces, from where you do not see him. And he and his forces, they see you from where you cannot see them. And then the author, he says, فَإِذَا طَلَبْتَ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُعِيذَكَ مِنْهُ وَاعْتَصَمْتَ بِهِ كَانَ هَذَا سَبَبًا فِي حُضُورِ الْقَلْبِ فَاعْرِفْ مَعْنَى هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ وَلَا تَقُلْهَا بِاللِّسَانِ فَقَطْ كَمَا عَلَيْهِ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ. He said, so therefore, if you were to request from Allah, if you were to seek from Allah, if you were to ask Allah to protect you from him, meaning from the devil, and you held fast with trust and reliance in Allah, then this will be from the greatest means to have the presence of heart during the salah. And this will be a great means for you to have a heart that is alive and present during the prayer. Therefore, you must know the meaning of this statement and do not say it with the tongue only, like the majority of the people they're doing. Like the majority of the people they're doing. So again, this statement here, and in summarization of what the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, أعوذ بالله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed devil. The summarization of that means I seek refuge with Allah. And I put my trust and reliance upon Him. And I seek protection in Him, in His majesty and power. My heart is attached to Allah. And I'm asking Him to help me and to protect me. And He's powerful and strong. And he is all able to do all things. These ideas are in the mind whenever a person, he says this statement. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Seeking refuge with Allah in this manner from the evil of this enemy. Because the shaytan, he's an enemy. Seeking refuge with Allah in this manner from the evil of this enemy, that he may harm me in my deen or in my dunya. That he may harm me in my religious affairs, or in my worldly life. Because he will seek to harm you in any manner that he can. In any manner that he can. Then to further clarify, how would that be? That he will stop me or prohibit me from performing something that that's an obligation for me to perform. That he will stop me or prohibit me or deter me from performing the obligations that are upon me. Or that he would encourage me and entice me to perpetrate something that I have been prohibited from. So this is from the devil. Falling short in the obligations and not performing the commandments is the devil who encourages this. To perpetrate the prohibitions and to decorate that and to incline a person to fall into the haram with his eyes or with his ears or with his heart or with his tongue or with his wealth and the likes like this, all of this is from the encouragement and the enticement of the devil. So therefore seeking refuge with Allah is the means to be safe from that. And the devil, he's most diligent at the times when of a person he has a good intention and he's hoping to perform khayr. And he's hoping to perform khayr, for example, whenever he wants to enter into salah. Or whenever he wants to recite the Qur'an. And these two, they come together. The salah and the recitation of the Qur'an. So therefore the devil, he will even be more diligent at this time to mislead a person to turn his heart away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is indeed a very important place for al-istiyadah. For al-istiyadah. And this is why it's highly recommended for a believer to recite that before entering into the actual prayer and from the opening. After du'a al-istiftah, after du'a al-istiftah, as we have seen. And this is likewise because you have no way. We have no way to be safe from the devil. We have no way to repel him or to defend ourselves from him except by seeking refuge with Allah from him. Except by seeking refuge and protection and putting one's faith and trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because him and his army, his forces, they can see us and we cannot see them. They can see us and we cannot see them. Some of the Salaf, they would say, "Aduun yaraka wa la tarahu shadidul mu'na." An enemy that can see you, you cannot see him, he's very hard to deal with. It's very difficult to face. It's a great challenge. An enemy that wants nothing but your downfall. That wants nothing but your downfall. And he can see you, but you cannot see him. This is something that's very challenging. But the way out of that is easy. And that is to have knowledge and light, and then to put one's faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the one, he makes this statement in this manner, like the author, he's saying this will be from the greatest means to have the presence of mind and to have a heart that is alive during the salah. during the salah, remembering this affair, remembering this meaning, stating it with the heart, with trust and reliance, whenever he says it, and then entering into the prayer like this, in this manner. This is a great benefit, and for the prayer specifically. So he says, وَأَمَّا الْبَسْمَلَةِ فَمَعْنَاهَا أَدْخُلُ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مِنْ قِرَاءَةٍ أَوْ دُعَاءٍ أَوْ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ لَا بِحَوْلِي وَلَا بِقُوَّتِي بَلْ أَفْعَلُ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ مُسْتَعِينًا بِاللَّهِ مُتَبَرِّكًا بِاسْمِهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. He said, and the meaning of the basmala is that I enter into this affair, this recitation or this supplication, or other than that, bismillah, in the name of Allah, in the name of Allah, or with the name of Allah, not with my own ability, not with my own power, not with my own might, not with my own ability, not with my own power. This is a statement of seeking help, a statement of seeking help and seeking aid. And likewise, one who will free himself, realizing that he is weak, a person who will realize that he's weak and he needs the help of Allah. And he will free himself from his own ability and from his own wit and from his own authority or from his own strength. And he will put his trust and reliance upon Allah. And he will realize that he has no strength except for with Allah. So therefore he will mention the name of Allah, Bismillah. And then and likewise he will know that there's no blessing except for by way of Allah. And that blessing is obtained by mentioning the name of Allah. So therefore he says Bismillah. Seeking the help of Allah, seeking the aid of Allah, seeking the blessing of Allah, and using this term here, along with this understanding, to draw near to Allah, making a tawassul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner. So he says, rather, I'm not doing this. I say Bismillah, I'm entering into this affair, whatever it may be, in the name of Allah, not by my own might, not by my own strength. Rather, I'm doing this issue that I'm doing, seeking the help of Allah, seeking the blessing of Allah by mentioning His blessed name subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, هذا في كل أمر تسمي في أوله من أمر ديني أو أمر دنيا. And this is in every affair that you make the tasmiyah, saying Bismillah in the beginning of that, from the affairs of the deen or the affairs of the dunya. فإذا أحضرت في نفسك أن دخولك في القراءة بالله مستعينا به متبرئا من الحول والقوة كان هذا أكبر الأسباب في حضور القلب وطردي الموانع من كل خير. So if you were to remember this in yourself and bring this to mind in yourself, whenever you enter into the recitation, seeking the help of Allah and freeing yourself from your own might and from your own strength and power, this will be from the greatest means for your heart to be present during the salah or during the recitation, and to repel and do away with anything that will prohibit you from achieving the good that you seek. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.